I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, and the title of, I'm going to do a three-part series for Christmas called The Seven Words of Christmas, and these are actually the prophetic words that were spoken around the time of Jesus' birth. And Robert Morris, for those of you that don't know where this message came from, is from Robert Morris, a pastor that I listen to a lot, pastor of Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas. And he had brought this message 2 years ago. I heard it online for the first time, The Seven Words of Christmas. He brought it all in one setting. Of course, I'm going to break it down into three. And he said back in 2018 that his ministry, they have a publishing company associated with it, that they were going to release a book that went with this message. Well, they have, and I encourage you to go get it. It's on Amazon. You can order it. I ordered it for my Kindle. It's a quick read. It's a little devotional book. It's actually broken down so you can read, you know, a chapter a day up to Christmas. I sat down and read it all in one sitting, and it's a very, very, very good book. It's one of those books that you want to keep on your shelf for every Christmas to take off and read about, and it goes into the Christmas story. And I love the Christmas story because this is the greatest story ever told and the greatest story that will ever be told. Amen. And I get to share it with you today. And it's in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to stay at today. I encourage you over this Christmas season to read Matthew 1 and Matthew 2 and Luke 1 and Luke 2. That's where the story of Jesus' birth is told at. And we're going to get into this message today. And here's the seven words of Christmas. There it is, Matthew 1 and 2, Luke 1 and 2. There is salvation, favor, blessed. We sang about a lot of this today. Guidance, joy, redemption, and peace. And out there in parentheses is who those messages came to or through. And so if you look at this and how this is broken down, there's actually three women, three men, and then the last group was the shepherds, was where joy. And joy is going to be our theme throughout the next three Sundays. We need some joy in the world. Amen? We need a lot of joy being spread. And so that's going to be our theme. But as I was thinking about this, the Lord spoke, the Holy Spirit, God spoke through three men, three women, and in a group of shepherds. And that just goes to show you that there's no male or female in God. There's no special group, okay? God uses us all. Amen? And so we're going to let the ladies go first today. How about that? So we're going to, how I've broke this down, we're going to talk about the ladies first, which is going to be Mary, Elizabeth, and Anna. And then next Sunday, I'm going to talk about the men. And then that last Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas, we're going to talk about joy that the angels spoke to the shepherds. But, and also what we're going to do today is you're going to learn some Greek words today. Look at somebody and say, yay, I'm going to learn Greek. Because the New Testament was written in Greek and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, not English, Hebrew. It was not written in King James Version. Yes, thank you, Loy. Wasn't, most people think it was written in King James Version, Elizabethan English. It wasn't. It was written in Hebrew. All right, if you turn to Luke chapter 1, as I said, I'm going to put them up here on the screen as well. But we're going to start in verse 26. I encourage you to go read all this. I'm going to have to break it down a little bit so we can get it all in today. But it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. Everybody say favor. That's one of the words. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor, there it is again, with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? She didn't doubt. She's just asking a question. She said, how can this be since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. So this is, we're going to look about that here in just a little bit, about the birth of John the Baptist. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And I love how Mary responds to the angel Gabriel. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. All right, here's the first word we're going to learn today is favor. Look at somebody say favor. All right, the Greek word for favor is charis. And so I was thinking about Grace this morning as I was preparing this week, our little Grace. I think she's the only Grace, the only girl named Grace here today. Grace, your name is also charis in Greek. So your mom and dad can use that when you're in trouble. They can speak Greek to you. Charis, not Karen, charis, okay? And the word, this word appears 136 times in the New Testament, yet only 6 times is it translated as favor. The other 130 times, charis is translated grace. And so therefore, what we can learn from this is grace is unmerited favor. Aren't you thankful for God's grace today? Here's something else. Every one of us, I know my dad always says, well, I'm God's favorite. Well, every one of us are God's favorites. Amen? We're all God's favorites. We're all the focus of his amazing grace and love. Isn't that awesome? You have value today. You are valued by the Father. The only question is, will we receive this amazing gift? Will God's message of grace and favor be met with faith and belief like Mary did? We want to be like Mary. Look at somebody and say, you want to be like Mary. She was highly favored of the Lord, and the reason why is because of this right here. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." That's how she found favor. She just believed. She had that grace. That grace came upon her. We got to be like Mary. Too many Christians doubt when God speaks. We just got to, you know, she asked a question, how can this be? That's okay. She wasn't doubting. But then once the angel told her, she said, I believe. I receive it. So we need to be like Mary. Look at somebody and say, you need to be like Mary. All right, here's the second word that we're going to learn today is blessed. Look at somebody and say, blessed. All right, we just sang about this in that song. Favor was in that song about, I love that, what's it called, the blessing? That's what it's called, the blessing. And we sing that, and it's talking about God's favor going down to generations. That's actually a song based on Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26, that blessing that I speak over you guys every Sunday. But we're going to see this in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. This is right after the angel came to Mary, Gabriel, and told her about Jesus. And then she goes immediately to her cousin Elizabeth. It says, "Now Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb for joy," is what one translation says, "and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." I love this. And then it says, as she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." There it is, that word joy. That's our theme for this next three Sundays. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." All right, here's the word blessed. These are the first two blessed that we see in this passage of Scripture are translated in Greek, and I know Jada got tired of me playing this on my computer. I have this little Greek deal where I can go to Greek, and then it has this little speaker there where I can pronounce the words. All right, it helps this redneck out. All right, so I'm sitting there doing that, and I played this, and Jada was like, "What are you listening to?" Because the word is eulogio, eulogio. Okay, that's kind of hard to say, so I had to keep pronouncing that a bunch, didn't I, babe? And she kept saying, what are you doing? I was like, well, I'm studying for the message for Sunday. Eulogio, eulogio. And this is where we get our English word eulogy. And eulogy means this, or eulogio means this, the holy act of declaring and speaking good and wonderful things over someone, fully believing that those good things will come to pass. Amen. That's that you want. I saw a perfect example of this morning. I saw Grace come up and get prayer from Carrie, and then Mark came down and said, "Hey, I need to pray for my daughter this morning." And I saw two parents speaking blessings over their child. We need to speak blessings over our kids. Amen. You need to bless them, because the enemy lies to them, just like he lies to all of us, tries to speak word curses over them, all kinds of stuff. You know, even some people, the enemy brings people in their lives to speak those kind of things over them. That's not from God. And mom and dad, you have the authority to cancel that in Jesus' name. And that's what they were doing this morning, was speaking blessings over Grace, over Karis today. And this is that the scripture that I speak over you guys every Sunday. I want you to realize it's not just a neat way to end the service. You know, it's not just a neat benediction. But what I'm fully believing when I do this over all of us and over myself, that I'm speaking the blessings and favor of God over you. Amen. And so this is out of Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. If you go a little bit further, and you know, one of the books of the Bible that I love to read is the book of James, because it's basically the how-to of Christianity. And there's one passage that I'm going to point out this morning out of the book of James, and it's chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, and it says, with it, talking about our mouth, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And everybody said, amen. We need to watch what comes out of our mouth. Amen. Yes. All right, I'm looking around the room here, and it's not just, I want to take this a little bit step further, is it's not just about speaking about someone else, but it's also speaking about yourself. Yes. Looking in the mirror and speaking bad things over yourself, you know, or calling yourself a dummy, or things like that, you know, or you idiot, you know, all those kind of, you know, you're out. Anybody ever done that besides me? We need to quit doing that. God doesn't speak that over you, so quit letting the enemy use your words to speak cursing over yourself, curses over yourself. Now, I'm going to give us a prophetic word today for all of us that goes along with this, the blessing, because let me just read this, okay? I'll be better at reading it than just, okay, on September the 18th, we entered the Jewish year of 5781. The Hebrew word for this year, it was also for last year as well, but it's also for this year too. The Hebrew word for this year is pay, and it's spelled P-E-Y. And the letter is shaped, that letter pay in the Hebrew alphabet is shaped like a mouth. And the meaning of it is to speak, to blow, word, speech, or breathe. It means God's mouth. It is not the silence that brings reality into being, but the words we speak which change things around us. There will be a release of God's authority and his word this year. Amen. All right, we started that in September, the Hebrew, and we're going into 2021. I prayed this while ago, but supernatural healings will increase. There will be more people whose mouths will be like God's mouth. In Psalms 107:20, it is written, God sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Psalms 107, verse 20. This will start happening more and more if you believe for it. God's people will be God's mouth, and when they speak, people will be healed and delivered. I'm believing that for today, that people are going to be healed and delivered, not only just here, but those that are watching and will be listening on the radio. There will be no need to travel long distances to touch someone or to have someone lay hands on you. The words which will be sent forth from another corner of the world are going to produce fruit. And everybody said, I believe, and I'm just going to say this, all right, I believe that this disease is from the pit of hell, because there's no diseases in heaven, all right? It's from the pit of hell, but one of the things that went through this with this disease is to cover our mouths. And when we have our mouth covered, what's left open is our mind, for the enemy to play mind games up here. And it's time for Christians, and I'm not saying don't wear your mask, by God, you know, if you're in an establishment where you need to wear your mask, but what I'm saying is, spiritually, we need to be speaking forth healing over ourselves, over our families, over everyone around us. We've got to be God's mouth in this hour, and it's going to take all of us speaking it. And everybody said, all right, now we're going to look at the third blessed. This is where in Luke 1, verse 45, this is where Elizabeth said to Mary, she said, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And so the third blessed, get this, the third blessed is translated in Greek, Makarios, and it means happy. Look at somebody and say, you need to get happy. And what it does, it speaks to our emotional well-being, all right? It speaks to our emotional well-being. And then in Acts 3, verse 26, it says, "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you," there it is again, "in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." And I'm going to say this, and this is not the only thing that Jesus came to do, but Jesus came to make you happy. Yes. He came to make you happy. Another word for happy is merry, all right? What we need some more of is some more happy Christians walking around, some more joy-filled Christians walking around. Some of us look like we've been... No, I ain't going to say it. But we need to get happy. We need to get joy-filled. And that's also the word happy. Another word for happy is merry, all right? That's where we get the word Merry Christmas. I know, and I'm not going to, you know, I know some people say Happy Holidays because they capture Thanksgiving, you know, Christmas, and Happy New Year all together, so they say Happy Holidays. As for me and my house, we say Merry Christmas because that's where the joy comes from, is from Christ. And so, and here's what I want to tell us all, and I was telling Jada this on the way in this morning. I was preaching to the choir. She always hears it twice. But if your Christianity doesn't make you happy, then you have religion. Christianity is about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we got too many Christians walking around in religious bondage, and we need to shake that off. And everybody said, amen. So turn to the person next to you and say, Merry Christmas. Okay, we're getting there. I'm starting to feel some Christmas spirit rising up in the house. Well, the praise team did an awesome job this morning, guys. Those were awesome songs. I was feeling the Christmas spirit this morning, which is the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 2, we're going to go to Luke chapter 2 now, and this is the third word, and this is an awesome word. It's the word redemption, and I want you to see this in Scripture. It says, "And when 8 days were completed for circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Verse 24, and it says, "And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So what I did was, as I was studying this out, and I'm just going to give you a little side note to this, I love studying the Word. I'm a teacher. I love studying the Word. I love connecting the dots in Scripture. I just love it. I mean, when light bulbs turn on for me, it just gets me excited. Does that get you excited? Gets me going. I love it. And as I was studying this, I was thinking, okay, 2 turtle doves. And so I've read this before, but I actually studied this out, and so I was like, okay, I need to figure out where this was at. So it's back in Leviticus. So that's the book we all skip over when we're reading our daily, you know, our Bible reading plan. Who wants to read about scabs? That's in the book of Leviticus, by the way. So I go to the book of Leviticus, and I look up about this, what the law of Moses said to the children of Israel about how they were to do this. And it says in the book of Leviticus, and I believe it's chapter 12, it talks about that whenever they come to the temple after their child is born to dedicate them to the Lord, and it's also for the woman for her purification as well, it says that they need to bring a lamb and a dove. A lamb and a dove. And if they can't, if they're not, to bring a lamb, you had to have some wealth, all right? And if you couldn't bring a lamb, then you need to at least bring 2 turtle doves. So here we are, Mary and Joseph coming to the temple, and they got 2 turtle doves. And so immediately I thought about something else in Scripture in the book of John, when John the Baptist, which was the one we talked about in the word bless, we'll talk more about him next week, is John the Baptist, when he saw his cousin come to get baptized, and he said, "Behold the what? The Lamb of God, the Lamb of God." So there's the Lamb. And then John also says, when you read John, it's in John chapter 1, it says that whenever he baptized Jesus, he saw the Spirit of God come down like a what? A dove. And there it was. Jesus is our perfect sacrifice. And he was coming to the temple that day. All right, I had to say this because now we're going to get with Anna. All right, the prophetess. And in verse 36, it says, "Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption." Everybody say redemption. There it is, that word in Israel. Now, I'm going to give you a little background about Anna, okay? It tells us just a little bit about her. It says this, "Her father's name is Phanuel," and this is actually a form of the Hebrew place in the Old Testament called Peniel, which it means face-to-face. It's the name Jacob gave to the place where he met and wrestled with God in Genesis chapter 32, and Anna is about to meet God face-to-face in the baby, all right? Then the second thing about Anna is it says that Anna is from the tribe of Asher. And when you study Scripture, there's 12 tribes of the tribes of Israel. Only people from the tribe of Levi, which were considered the priests, are supposed to be living and serving in the temple. But occasionally, exceptions were made for those who were clearly anointed by God as a prophet or a prophetess, and Anna is an exception. She's a prophetess. There are still women that can be in ministry today. Amen, ladies? Okay. Number three, third thing about Anna is, I love this about Luke. Luke describes Anna not as old, but of great age. That's what you say to someone. You're just of great age. You're of great age. Luke was a smart physician. He was a doctor. He was smart. He just said she's of great age. And he doesn't ever tell us even how old she is, but he gives us the clue on how to figure it out if you know math. All right? It says, "She had been married 7 years before her husband died, we know, and as a widow, she had been serving in the temple for 84 years. If we assume that she was married at the age of 14, which was acceptable in that culture of that day, then Anna is at least 105 years old." That's a great age. That's old. That's old. All right. She's old, all right? She's of great age. I like how Luke says it. So when you see your grandparents this Christmas, and I'm a grandparent, say, you're of great age. All right, so here's the third word, redemption. And this is something that Anna knew before she prophesied that over baby Jesus and over Mary and Joseph. She understood Isaiah 59, verse 20. It says, "The Redeemer will come to Zion," which that means the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, "and to those who turn from transgressions in Jacob, says the Lord." She knew the Old Testament. She knew that prophecy. And here she is looking at her Redeemer right then. And she had that prophecy from the Lord that she would see this before she passed. Okay, redemption is the overarching theme of the Word of God. It's the greatest redemption story of all time. And if you study Scripture, you're going to find out that Isaac was redeemed by a ram in Genesis chapter 22. Ruth was redeemed by a kinsman redeemer who paid the price that restored her to her husband's land and home. That's in the book of Ruth. The whole book of Hosea is a redemption story. Hosea is told by God to what happens in Hosea, and I'm going to give you a little summary of it real quick. Hosea is told by God to purchase the freedom of a prostitute and make her to be his wife. They have three children together, and she returns to her previous life. And God tells Hosea, go buy her freedom back once again. And the entire story is a prophetic picture of God's relationship with Israel, but also with us. God sent his son, Jesus, to redeem us, buy us back from the slavery of sin and death. Guys, that's good news. That's the Christmas news today. That's the Christmas story. In Matthew 20, verse 28, it says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." That's what Jesus told his disciples. "I came to give my life as a ransom for many." And if you study 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 and 7:23, it tells us all of us in here were bought at a price. And that price was the precious blood of Jesus. The Old Testament says that life is in the blood, and he redeemed us with his own life. Jesus is our redeemer. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is my redeemer. Guys, I'm telling you, the grace of God is so unbelievable. I've been pastoring now for, 20 years here, but in ministry since I got saved, basically, so 27 years, and the longer that I pastor, the more I'm just amazed at God's amazing grace for us. God is so gracious and so kind. And I, you know, and now I can smell religion. Ooh, stinks. When somebody's in that religious bondage, it's not good. God's a very gracious God. He's a loving God. He loves us so much. And somebody, it was Jennifer Hawkins, shared something on the Facebook this week, and I was like, man, that is so good. And she shared something from I've read some of his books before. He's a Christian author. His name's Philip Yancey. And I'm fixing to put this slide up here. There's what she had shared on Facebook. And I had to read it several times. I was like, God, that is so good. That is so good. That's too good. You know, that kind of stuff. And it's like, to the point where it's so good, it's hard to even believe. But it is good. And that's how much God loves us. You know, guys, I did a funeral this week for somebody that I knew that was a 44-year-old nurse that passed from COVID, you know, and she's in heaven today because she knew the Lord. And guys, it's comforting to be able to tell that to a family that's grieving. You know, she's in our future. And now, if somebody was in religion, they might argue with me because she wasn't in church all the time. You know, she didn't do the things that we all think that we ought to do. And that's where religion is killing people. Yes. Because God loves us. And all we got to do is call upon his name to be saved. That's what Romans 10 says. That's all we got to do. And I want this is backed by Scripture, what I'm fixing to show you this morning. And it's the thief on the cross. And I want to read this together. It says, Jesus forgave a thief dangling on a cross, knowing full well the thief had converted out of plain fear. That thief would never study the Bible, never attend a synagogue or a church, and never make amends to those he had wronged. He simply said, Jesus, remember me. Those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus promised, today you will be with me in paradise. It was another shocking reminder that grace does not depend on what we have done for God, but rather what God has done for us. Guys, that is it right there. That is powerful. That's the Christmas story. If that don't give us joy, then something's wrong. Amen? And I'm telling you, and I know I say it a lot and to the point where it's kind of like a Christian cliche. I hope it doesn't come out that way because I mean it. God is good, and all the time, he is good. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure that everyone here under the sound of my voice and those that are watching online and those that are going to be listening to this on the radio, I just want to make sure that you have called upon the name of the Lord so that you shall be saved. And it's very easy to do. The Bible just says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If you prayed that prayer and it's your first time, your next step of obedience and following the Lord is to follow him in water baptism like Bobby Winchester did last Sunday. And we can do that next Sunday. Maybe you've never done it before, or maybe you feel like you need to do it again. I was baptized twice, took me two dunks, okay? Okay, 2 weeks ago. Thanks, Bobby. See, it's Sunday, Monday, Sunday in my life, all right? It's 2 weeks ago. He knows. But we can do that for you, and would be honored to do that. And so did everybody learn something today? Okay, we're going to be looking at the next couple of Sundays, the Christmas story, breaking it down, learning these prophetic words that were spoken over Jesus, but also applying them to our life as well because they're being spoken over us. God's favor is being spoken over you. God is speaking blessings over you, and God wants you to know that he's crazy in love with you and he has redeemed you. Amen? He has bought you back with his precious blood. All right, babe, I want you to come up here with me, and we're going to, I want everybody to stand in here, and we're going to speak a blessing over you like we do every Sunday. So if you're standing there with your family or with your loved one, I want you to join hands with them, and we're going to speak a blessing over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Tell somebody Merry Christmas. Love you guys. Merry Christmas.
Lately I've been reeling, watching the nightly news. Don't seem to find the rhythm. Just